Please keep us in mind when you're about to shop at Amazon. Start at pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Click on the Amazon logo on that page, and it takes you right to the Amazon homepage. But that two-second detour by starting at pwtorch.com/Amazon means we get a commission on whatever you buy on that shopping trip. So every single time you're going to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you so much for your support.
Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE Monday Night Raw.
So, Zach, how did WWE do with Roman Reigns the day after his long-awaited Universal title win in front of a hostile crowd in Brooklyn, New York? How do you grade all 3 hours and 10 minutes of narrative framing what this means to WWE and Roman Reigns?
You know, I thought they did a really good job. I thought they did a good job even before the ending. I thought positioning Reigns as a fighting champion was the way to go. It ran counter to everything that Brock Lesnar was about and everything about that Brock Lesnar story. Reigns wasn't tonight, which I think was a good place to at least start. You know, he's not going to get universally cheered in that market, and maybe not in any market, but I think from a storyline perspective, presenting him in that way and just letting him wrestle a match and have a good match was the way to go. In addition to that, they tacked on a loads and loads of bells and whistles. I mean, giving the title opportunity to Finn Balor was smart. And then, you know, the Shield at the end, just they really pulled out all the tricks to make it work. And I think we can debate the merits of whether those tricks should or shouldn't be necessary in getting a top guy over, but for looking at it, what it was, and was it entertaining, and did the crowd like it? I thought it was really good, and certainly made for a newsworthy show.
What's your take? Because we'll talk a lot about this as the show progresses with our callers and emails and on-site correspondent. What about the show closing angle? The Shield uniting against Braun. It's a kind of gutsy move to have the very popular Braun go up against a 3-on-1 attack with a crowd predisposed to love Dean, love Seth, not love Roman Reigns, and take away the Money in the Bank cash-in that the fans were eager, drooling. They wanted to see it, and you have Reigns under circumstances which are contractually fair of Braun Strowman, wait for Reigns to stand up, and let's fight, and Seth and Dean come out and spoil it. That's kind of what Tully and Arn would do to save Ric Flair from a bad situation. I thought the crowd booed it for the most part, but also were torn because they like Seth, they like Dean, they like the Shield. And so I wasn't quite sure what to make of it. I absolutely am sure Vince McMahon knew that the fans wouldn't know what to make of it. Like, I don't think that was a surprise to him, that there would be a mixed response. It had to be deliberate. So your take on that choice and the execution of it?
Yeah, I think Vince wanted to get out of tonight with Roman still as the champion, knowing the reaction that he was going to get in doing so. And I really think he pulled off all the stops, no ifs, ands, or buts, in order to get that done. And as far as bringing out the Shield at the very end, I like you said, I think he wanted the reaction to be confusion, but I also think he wanted the reaction of the audience to be, whoa, we're seeing something really cool. This was totally unexpected. The Shield's back together. That's awesome. And, you know, some of the crowd is going to love it instead of the cash in. Other people are going to want the cash in. But in the end, no matter what, you got a pretty, like, you know, once in a blue moon type ending to the show. And I think that, to him, overshadows any of the negativity that might come along with it this week and into next. More so than that, too, I think, you know, it lines up some good conversation for next week. You know, what is to be made of the Shield next week? Are they on Roman's side? Is it a one-time thing? So I think they can build storylines off of the angle tonight, too.
Yeah, I think a tweet sums up a lot of people's feelings. Jim O'Sullivan on Twitter said, I effing hate Roman Reigns, but that was effing cool.
Right.
Yeah.
So Vince, I think, has to see that and go, yep, all right, mission accomplished. Let's move on to SmackDown, you know?
Absolutely. All right, let's set the table here. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show following the Monday, August 20th edition of WWE Monday Night Raw. We're live on the air a couple minutes after Raw went off the air, analyzing it, and we are streaming live at WadeKellerPostShow.com. This show available in its entirety later on, as always, on Tuesday mornings in the early AM hours, if not a little before midnight, with the full show, including our on-site correspondent and mailbag. If you've got questions or comments about this show and you can't call in, but you're listening to us live right now, you can email WadeKellerPodcast@pwtorch.com. That's WadeKellerPodcast@pwtorch.com. And we also invite you to get on the phone banks right now. We've got a ton of people who've called in. Not many have pushed one on their keypad yet. So if you want to be on the show, be sure to let us know. You got to push one on the keypad once you call in, and you'll get in line in the caller standby queue. So Zach Adorn is my guest co-host on today's program. Zach, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me, Wade. Always enjoy being here.
Good to have your voice on the show. People who listen to the show, I'm sure, are checking out your reports every Monday night alongside mine on pwtorch.com. We each offer up our reports on Raw, so you can kind of fill in details that Zach might see and I don't, or vice versa, and also get our opinions on segments as the show progresses. Invite you to do that tomorrow night, too, as I cover SmackDown Live. And you can catch up on our coverage of SummerSlam and NXT TakeOver also at pwtorch.com.
Searching for more great pro wrestling talk? Then join me, Jason Powell, host of the free weekly Pro Wrestling Boom podcast. Each week, you'll hear the latest news and analysis from me and my team at ProWrestling.net, along with other pro wrestling media members. Plus, the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast features long-form interviews with notable names in the pro wrestling industry. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Downcast, and all your favorite secondary apps, or visit us directly at pwboom.com. Once again, that's pwboom.com.
A quick plug. Last week, I was on the Steve Austin podcast previewing NXT TakeOver and SummerSlam. As of early Tuesday, the next Steve Austin show, and we are reviewing NXT TakeOver and SummerSlam for about an hour and a half of in-depth analysis with Steve Austin. So that was a great pleasure to just break down two really good shows this weekend with Steve, who also thought they were really good. And we went over every single match. I don't know if we did the kickoff show matches, but every single main card match from both shows. So check that out. You can find the Steve Austin show just about anywhere that you can find this, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. All right, Zach, let's start taking some calls and find out what our listeners think of this. Again, our number is 347-215-8558. 347-215-8558. It should be on the screen when you log in to stream the show. And then push one on your touchtone phone to join us. Let's go to our first call, area code 323. You are up. Please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Hi, Wade and Zach. This is Harry from Las Vegas, Nevada. How you doing?
Harry, good to hear from you. What'd you think of Raw tonight?
I like the show. I mean, I like very much NXT TakeOver. I like SummerSlam. I like Raw. There's some things you can tweak, but overall, I'll give them a passing grade.
So what's your main thing you want to bring up on the call?
So I had two comments, questions on the main angle that closed out the show. A, am I the only one who doesn't like how Roman holds on to the title while walking down to the ring? And B, how are they going to work having Braun as a babyface Mr. Money in the Bank? Does this mean that the Shield is now a heel faction? Because that's how I felt it at the end of the show. I mean, them going 3-on-1 against Braun.
Yeah, I mean, Zach, tell me your thoughts. I mean, I think Vince was just going for a cool moment to spark conversation. I don't think it was a heel turn. It wasn't a heel turn for Braun. I mean, it was so, by the way, Coach is hilarious. Like, Coach, it's like he just shows up 2 minutes before the show and watches it. And like Don West, when TNA booking made no sense, and he would point out things that made no sense on the air. I love that era of Don West. Then he got fired. Because people in charge didn't like that he was going, wait, that makes no sense. Didn't he do that last week and 3 weeks ago? Did he say that? And Mike Tenay's head would explode, and then, oh, we need someone different on commentary. In this case, though, it's not that Coach is saying things that don't make sense. He's saying things that break the narrative that WWE is trying very hard to push right at the desk that he's sitting at. And so he was like saying Braun Strowman, he said he was going to not fight this way, not cash in this way. And he would do it face to face, not attack him from behind. And Coach and Graves are like tackling each other to try to offset what Coach said before the other can. What are you saying, Coach? No. He's doing exactly what he said. He's waiting for Reigns to stand up and face him. But it was a good point from Coach, even though he's not doing his job by making it, which is the real cool thing for Braun to do as a babyface Money in the Bank holder would be to say, Roman, you gave Braun a chance or Finn Balor a chance this week. Next Monday, I'm cashing in and I'm giving you 7 days notice. I want you fresh. I don't need you beat down after a 15-minute match. So that's kind of Coach's thinking. It does expose a little break in the logic of WWE trying to frame Braun differently than other Money in the Bank heels cashing in. But again, that wasn't the intent. I don't think the intent at all was for Braun to be heelish. I think that's just Coach not quite getting what he's supposed to say and not say. Zach, yeah, your additional thoughts.
No, I totally agree. I think, you know, from the beginning, even last night at SummerSlam, I think WWE has missed the boat a little bit with the Strowman narrative, because what he said and what he actually did didn't really mirror up with each other. That said, I don't think it was a heel turn, but I think a direction they could go with the Shield and Roman Reigns to kind of alleviate, you know, them being heels towards Braun Strowman is, you know, they could just simply be out there saying, hey, you know what, like, we're the Shield, this is our brother, you know, Strowman, you certainly deserve a cash in. We just want it to be done in the right way, in a stand up way. And that would kind of counteract the narrative that they set forth. But it would make sense in why they ran out tonight and why they made the save tonight. I think that scenario keeps Reigns in the Shield, baby faces to some, heels to others, and same thing on the flip side with Braun Strowman. So I think that could go either way. I do need to make a quick comment on Roman Reigns carrying the belt. I referenced this a couple times in my report. It drives me crazy. I think that slow walk and him holding, and I don't want to be the guy that, like, you know, hates on people for the way they carry belts, because it's a small thing. But Roman has such a problem with kind of shedding his arrogance and his entitlement as he walks to the ring and as he really does anything. And the way he walks with that belt over his shoulder just screams arrogance and entitlement to me. I think if he picked up the pace a little bit, held the belt or wore the belt, I think it would come off as more respectful and fans could get behind him a little bit, because it just rubs me the wrong way.
As the host of the Artistry of Wrestling, you pay attention to the details like that, the presentation. Bruce Mitchell would be yelling at you right now for bringing up something so irrelevant because Roman Reigns is over. But you're right. All those little things add up. They are absolutely worth discussing when you try to figure out what is it about Roman that just isn't clicking. And we do that a lot on the show because he's a top pushed guy on the number one promotion that we cover here on the post shows. And it is deserving of attention. And I thought Reigns was really good in that opening segment. He was charming. He was gracious. Yeah. All those things that you opened up with, Zach, and explaining why this was a good presentation for Roman. But it's worth being careful, if you're WWE and Roman Reigns, to complete the effort to make sure that there aren't little things like that that send some of the signals that remind people of who you used to be. I put up a poll on our Twitter account at PW Torch. We have 717 responses so far. And I said, if you've been against Roman Reigns' push for any reason in recent years, are you willing to give him a fresh look post SummerSlam victory? I had no idea what the results would be. I mean, I really didn't know. So I said, the four options I gave were yes, without reservation. I'll give him a fresh look. Next, maybe, but reluctantly. I thought that might win. I thought that might, you know, be a pretty solid winner. The next one was almost zero chance. And the fourth and final option was totally, absolutely zero chance. So I just was like kind of having fun. I wanted to not overdo it, but get a sense of things. Did you look at the results, Zach?
No, I didn't. I didn't see him yet. No.
So what do you think with those four options? Like, how do you think that breaks down? What does your gut tell you? The poll took place during the show, but most of the votes were before the show closing angle, if that affects anything.
Okay. I'm going to say that most people probably clocked in at option number three. Almost no chance, but you never know. And then number two being, you know, sure, but reluctantly.
When you said the word most, you were wrong, because there isn't a most. It is split almost equally four ways. 22%, at the lowest option was yes, but reluctantly. I'll give him a fresh look. So that's how hardened people are in their opinions of him. Yeah. Barely one out of five said yes. They'll give him a fresh look without reservation. 26% said maybe, but reluctantly. 25% said almost zero chance. 27% totally, absolutely zero chance. So 26, 25, and 27. 2% variation on the final three options. You have 48% saying yes or maybe, 52% saying almost zero or zero. So remarkable, you know, I mean, it's just that I hate to use the term, but he's polarizing. And yeah. And tonight, I don't think was trying to, like, everything they did was, including heel commentator Corey Graves spending 15, like it felt like 15 straight minutes during the Balor match, just going, Roman, what a great guy for defending the title. Roman, he's just so awesome. I mean, I can't believe he's doing it. It's like when the heel commentator is catching in his heel chips to gush praise, you know the mission is to get Reigns cheered. But then you have the Shield beat up Braun. Like, I just, they're keeping me off balance with what they're doing here.
Well, and I think those poll results really, they can tell you something about kind of the state of Reigns right now. I think, you know, tonight was a relatively decent night for him overall. I don't want to
you know,
take him down for that, because it was in a lot of ways. But, you know, to me, maybe you convert some of those people who are on the fence from, you know, probably not to reluctantly yes, if you clean up some of that stuff, if you don't push him on the commentary team, if you have him walk to the ring with a sense of purpose instead of a sense of entitlement. I mean, you could start converting people, but, you know, to have such a good night and then kind of not tie up the loose ends, it does his good night a little bit of a disservice. And I think he can make greater strides if they just, you know, like you say all the time, straighten the tie up a little bit. He'd be better off.
Yeah, I think that detail matters. Let's go back to Harry for a follow-up. Harry, anything else you want to add to our conversation here?
Yeah, just with the title thing with the belt. When he did it with the Intercontinental title, I was like, oh, my God. He's, like, looking down at the belt. He doesn't think it's as big as him, that he deserves the belt that Brock has. But now that he has that, I'm looking at it like, damn, he even might even think he's over – he's more over than the company. That's the way I looked at it. And that's why I'm like, I was excited big time when I thought Braun was going to cash in, because great, we're going to get this on night one of the title reign, get Roman out of the way. And then it's like, oh no, the Shield. I was so excited to see the Shield, but there was a moment where I was like, all right, man, hold on to that title and see, I'm proud of it. Not just hang on to it in your back. It's like, it looked bad.
So, Harry,
hey, great job with the show, guys. Appreciate you taking my call.
Hey, before I hang up, what is your vote on our Roman Reigns poll? Yes, maybe, almost zero, or total zero chance to give him a fresh look?
Before I saw him grab the belt like he did, it was three. And then after it was four.
All right.
So no chance again.
All right. I appreciate it. Hey, this matters to people. I appreciate it, Harry. Body language, how you present yourself, it absolutely counts. And you can't ignore that people look at those things and make judgment on it.
Hey, PW Torch fans, it's Sam Roberts, the last professional broadcaster, here to tell you about my podcast, Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast. Every Thursday morning on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Spotify, on YouTube, notsam.com, wherever you get podcasts, you will find it. Interviews with the A-list of pro wrestling, whether it's Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan, just recently Corey Graves, Mauro Ranallo. They're all guests of Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast, as well as regulars like Dan Soder and one of my favorite people to talk about pro wrestling with, Wade Keller. Plus, every week we do a deep dive and analyze what's going on in the world of pro wrestling this week with the state of wrestling. Bruce Pritchard calls it the best interview in wrestling podcasts. I don't know if that's true, but that's what Bruce Pritchard says. Subscribe now. Get it every Thursday morning across podcast platforms, or get the premium version at stitcher.com/notsam.
All right, let's go to 386 Max. 386, please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Oh, hi, this is Mario from Deep Thunder Beach. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good. I didn't catch your first name. I'm sorry.
My name is Jamario.
Oh, cool. Yep. Jamario from Daytona Beach. Yes. What did you think of Rock?
Daytona Beach.
Yep.
I can honestly say I was pleasantly surprised because, as you guys know, 3 hours of watching this show could be quite the slug. But tonight, I didn't feel myself really tail off too much throughout the show. But no, what I wanted to ask you guys, it seems like WWE's kind of like, I guess, playing with my emotions in a way. Like, I'll give an example. They have Becky, like, last night go and attack Charlotte, you know, yet, you know, I felt, like, naturally inclined to cheer Becky for, you know, beating up on Charlotte because, you know, like, I was wanting Becky to win. Then I kind of go to tonight, like, the ending promo, and I'm like, you know, like, I love Seth Rollins, I love The Shield, but, you know, they're attacking Braun, who is somebody else that I love. You know, so I'm kind of, like, confused. Like, is there, like, some sort of psychology to this, or is this just, like, weird booking or whatnot? I was trying to see what you guys thought about that.
So your emotions went on a roller coaster. In the end, if you're in the building tonight, are you cheering for Balor to beat Roman, or and then when The Shield come out, are you cheering it just because of the excitement of it, but you're emotionally torn? Like, if you're
right
in the building, how do your how would you have reacted in the end? Are you booing The Shield or cheering The Shield?
And see that's the part I'm getting at. So it's like, you know, I'm conflicted because it's like, you know, like I love The Shield, you know, like I love everything about it. I love Ambrose, love Rollins. Not too big of a fan of Reigns. If I was in the building, I would have been cheering on Balor. But like I said, you know, then Braun comes out. I'm like, I'm all excited for this cash out. I'm like, man, like it's about to happen. Like once again, so it's like, this is the second time it's happened in 2 nights, but it's like, you know, they go out and attack Strowman, and I'm just kind of like, you know, like, I don't know how to feel about this.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
you know, it's like baby faces fighting baby faces.
I agree. Zach, any?
Yeah, I just think, you know, to answer the first question, I think more so yesterday with Becky, that was to me more of a, you know, miscalculation in terms of the booking. Tonight, I thought it was a calculated effort to create a wow moment that, you know, would alleviate some boos that Reigns would get. I think that was the sole focus of tonight, and to create some confusion, to create a big moment that people are talking about, you know, the next day. So I thought they were similar outcomes, but for different, totally different reasons. Tonight, I thought they got exactly what they tried to get. Whether that's right or wrong or not, we'll have to see. But I think backstage right now, they're high-fiving each other going, well done.
Very true. Very true.
Jamari, thanks. Appreciate it. I think you are expressing how a lot of people felt in Barclays Center tonight. Yes. And last night.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. One more question.
Sure.
Sorry. I just want to know, where do you guys see Ronda Rousey going next? I mean, I'm pretty sure it's probably like Alexa Bliss, but like after Bliss, like what do you think is next?
Yeah, Zach, what do you think? I mean, did tonight set up Stephanie and Ronda one on one at Evolution, or are they going to do Four Horsewomen and against Four Horsemen? I didn't see anything tonight that set the stage for that. Is it okay if Ronda faces Stephanie? They got to fill time between now and then with something else. Is it a Bliss rematch? I mean, I don't think the picture's clear.
No, I don't think it is either. And I think all of those elements are in play. I don't know if they'll pull the trigger on the Four Horsewomen match quite yet, just because they really haven't introduced any other pieces aside from Ronda Rousey with that. But yeah, I see him going potentially to the Alexa Bliss rematch. That makes sense. And she was in the backstage segment with Stephanie as Stephanie was icing up her arm, so she could play the role of Stephanie's henchwoman or something moving forward. But you know, if they want to create kind of that PR type match, having Ronda and Stephanie go one-on-one at Evolution is certainly an avenue to explore. I think they want to be careful to not give away a huge match like Ronda and Charlotte at that event, but still feature Rousey prominently, right? And this could be a way to do that.
Jamari, appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for calling.
All right, thanks. And by the way, I've been a VIP member for over a year now. I just want to say it's the best decision I ever made. And for everybody out there listening, go VIP.
Thank you, Jamari. I appreciate it, and I hope you have no one's listening who thinks you've made more important decisions in your life that are more important.
All right, thanks, Patrick.
You bet. I mean, I'm all for the hyperbole to help business and all that, and I appreciate it totally, but I get a little nervous sometimes when people say that. Like, someone in the other room's like, what'd you just say?
I'm married to you.
Yes, or there's like a dog, you know, who just got adopted, you know, like from the shelter, and the dog just goes, oh. So, all right. Our VIP sale is going on, by the way. So go VIP right now. You can get $9 off. This offer is not going to last. And it's our first $1 sale of the year. Jamari said it's the best decision he made in his life. So why take the chance that this could be the worst non-decision of your life if you chose to not go VIP for $1? Check it out. We got our SummerSlam post show last night. Bruce Mitchell and Todd Martin joined me as usual for a 75-minute breakdown of SummerSlam. Got three different audio shows on NXT TakeOver, the Bruce Mitchell audio show, the Wade Keller Hotline, and the NXT Talks PWT crew with their excellent post TakeOver analysis. They do a great job every week on the PW Torch livecast. So how do you get the $1 VIP membership? Well, you go to pwtorchvipinfo.com. PWTorchVIPinfo.com. That'll tell you everything about VIP membership. There's a whole long list of things that you can take advantage of. More than 30 years of archives of the Porcelain Torch newsletter, ad-free access to our website, mobile and desktop, ad-free access to this show. This plug, by the way, VIP members won't hear. The ads are taken out for VIP members, so just a more streamlined experience for the four free shows during the week, and tons of VIP-exclusive podcasts, all detailed on PWTorchVIPinfo.com. Then when you go to the sign-up form, it's mobile-friendly. It takes a minute or two to sign up. Just enter coupon code $SLAM18. That's $SLAM18, and you are going to get $9 off. Now, you can actually apply that $9 discount to a three-month or one-year sub, and a lot of people are doing that too because you save money committing to a longer-term subscription. So if you want to do that right out of the gate, I made sure the coupon code applies to those options too. But just $SLAM18, no spaces, and you get a full month of coverage. That's going to include our all-in coverage coming up in two weekends from now. I was just texting back and forth with Cody Rhodes about the weekend, and I know he's excited about it. He's talking about some of the things he's doing to prepare for the show. And I'm very excited about that weekend at StarCast with the big podcast convention. Zach, you and I will get to meet in person for the first time that weekend. And Bruce Mitchell, too. Well, I've met Bruce, but you haven't. So we'll be getting together in Chicago, and we'll have on-site coverage. So go VIP. Don't miss out. And if you're a huge New Japan fan, catch up on our G1 Climax coverage. I will match it up against any – I'll match our coverage up of every company against anybody right now. Just such a great team of people contributing. Excellent podcast analysis with fast turnaround time also. You don't have to wait 3 days or 6 days to get our take on things. So go check it out. Give it a try for a buck. It might be the best decision you ever made. It was for Jamari. So again, pwtorchvipinfo.com, coupon code $SLAM18. And so anyway, let's go back to the phone lines, and we'll go next to area code 716. 716, thank you so much for calling. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Lee from Buffalo.
Hey, Lee, thanks for calling. How are things in Buffalo?
All right, I guess. not snowing, so, you know, it's great.
I don't know why, but I'm sort of thinking you're sports teams. I just sort of thought, yeah, most people would say, yeah, all right. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 8-8.
Yeah, exactly.
I just wanted to talk about, well, two things, but first I wanted to talk about Elias. He's one of my favorite characters, but over the past few weeks, excluding, I think, actually last week, it just seemed like something I really liked about him, which is, despite him being a heel, there's, like, something in his eyes that, like, you can really tell, or at least I perceive, that he really loves what he's doing, and it kind of translates, you know, to the viewer.
Yeah.
And I think it was there tonight. I liked seeing it, and, you know, despite the fact that it, like, it doesn't, you know, he's a heel, it, for whatever reason, that translation works for me, and I really love his segments, but I just don't know what they're doing with him long term, you know, like, but, you know, what's the next step for a guy like that?
First of all, I think your assessment is correct. I mean, I know he's a longtime wrestling fan. He was a walk-on, so to speak, not high drafted. Not a high draft pick, and and given all kinds of acclaim and perks. He had to work to get to where he is, and I think he really appreciates that Vince McMahon likes what he sees in him. Zach, I'll throw to you first on where you think they'll go with Elias. What is his upside? Because, you know, in the ring, he's not world-class, top-shelf. You know, can't wait to see him feud with Gargano and Ciampa in NXT and tear down the house. He's more along the lines of the main roster style that Miz or maybe EC3 has, where it's more deliberate, but it tells stories in the way Vince McMahon really appreciates. So there's definitely potential there. How high is that potential based on what you've seen so far?
I think the potential is pretty high with him. I think he you know, more so than a lot of people on Raw right now has a genuine, you know, connection with that audience. And I think that genuineness about him can take him a really long way. For me, each week, I just want to see him focus that connection in one direction or the other, like be a heel or be a babyface. I think he's really towing that line and going back and forth. And so people are left to wonder, okay, what is this guy doing? What's his story? And, you know, he kind of muddies his own gimmick with the Walk with Elias thing before flipping around and just trolling the audience of the city he's in. I want to see him focus that act, use the connection that he has with the audience to really drive a story and to drive his character, drive his mission statement. And if he does that, I think he can get up into that upper mid card, lower main event level, just like The Miz has done. I don't think he needs to be a guy that can have five-star classics. I think his character and his connection with the crowd can carry him through that, much like it has The Miz. He just needs to nail down that focus and nail down that direction. And once he does, I think he'll be even better than he is today.
I think he's outlasting the Fandango type of Adam Rose type of act, where it's like the flavor of the week for Vince, he gets excited and then it's sort of bored with it, move on. I think there's more there to him, and I think you actually, Lee, captured something. There's that intangible that fans pick up on, that they either embrace or rebel against, depending on what sense they get from the wrestler. You know, Adam Cole, I was talking to Steve Austin about this on the show that drops on Tuesday this week. Adam Cole looks like he just loves what he's doing. He wants to be there. He projects cockiness and arrogance and all that when he's a heel. And he projects, by the way, cockiness and arrogance as a babyface, but in a good way. You know, you're about to see the show like Shawn Michaels had when he was a babyface. But he wants to be there and he loves it. And you can tell. And people pick up on that. And if it looks like you don't want to be there and you're not having fun, you know, people pick up on that too. You know, there's wrestlers and you look back and you go, God, why didn't they make it? And there's different reasons for different people, but sometimes it's because fans, and yes, by the way, the people who live, eat, sleep, breathe wrestling, who are in it, who have influence, Triple H and Vince McMahon among them, pick up on that too. And they don't want to give a big opportunity to somebody who's sort of cool with just showing up. And Elias seems like he's not in that category, that he wants to he's enthusiastic about what he's doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, cool. Lee, anything else for us?
Yeah, I mean, just flipping to the audience connection and your Twitter poll today and the guy who's, you know, the subject of that. You know, I fall in the first category, which is I've got to give him a fresh look, because honestly, if he's on top for the next 5 to 10 years, I don't think I can keep watching this. Like, I just... it's too frustrating. You know, if he's on top and I don't like him, I should say, you know, I out of necessity, I've got
it. Is it like in politics where there's a primary and you're really, really for one of the candidates and they lose and you put your heart and soul and thought of all the negative things about the other candidate in your party? And then the nomination happens and you're like, oh God, I have to, you know, I've got to figure out a way to like Trump or like Hillary, or, you know, I got to figure out a way to like the governor running in this party that I was just putting all my energy against. Like, I think there's sort of a feeling of, God, if he's going to be here and I got to deal with him, I want to make sure that I'm giving myself a chance to like him. And if he is going to be the guy for a while, is that kind of capturing what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, and it's such a terrible, place to be as far as, you know, liking this, you know, this you know, show this product. But yeah, exactly. I just can't imagine, you know, turning the TV on 5 years from now and still having this complete lack of connection to their main wrestler. I can't imagine doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. So did tonight help or hurt?
Helped actually. And once again, I'm trying to like actively,
right.
actively try to like him.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, long term if it will actually work, because there's just still like there's a thing I see in Elias's eyes, you know, that like he loves it, and I can tell the other guy, you know, Reigns is just reciting garbage, you know, that he's just spewing out of his mouth, you know, like it just coming out of his mouth. He doesn't really care. So I'm just trying to, I don't know, like the writing behind it, like his moves. He's a good, you know, he's a good actual wrestler. I enjoy that portion of it. But it's just that lack of connection that I don't know if he'll ever get, but I'm trying to allow it in, you know?
Yeah. No, I hear you. I feel you. That's why I like the call-in portion of the show. We get to hear, you know, where fans are, where they stand and wanting to really like what WWE is doing and coming to grips with things that maybe you wouldn't choose to happen, but is happening and giving it a chance. And I'm surprised that option wasn't chosen by more people. But, you know, I mean, hey, if 21 or 22% are willing to, that can help crowd responses. Lee, thanks. And I hope your Bills go like 9-7, not just 8-8.
Oh, thank you very much.
And I hope the Sabres make the playoffs. It's always fun.
Well, that's shooting a little too far.
All right, take care. Thanks. All right, we're going to break, and we got to get to our on-site correspondent who's standing by for us in Brooklyn, and we'll find out what it was like to be in that building tonight. I'm looking forward to this, so stay tuned, everybody. And if you want, by the way, if you want to be an on-site correspondent, I do want to throw out here Wade Keller podcast at pwtorch.com. We got someone lined up for tomorrow after SmackDown, but email Wade Keller podcast at pwtorch.com and let us know if you can be an on-site correspondent for future Raw or SmackDown, and let us call you after the show to record a segment talking about what it was like to be in the building. And please put the date and the city in the subject line. It helps me immensely stay organized. I got so much coming at me all the time that I need a little help on your end in terms of trying to stay organized as far as getting back to you. So if you're going to a Raw or SmackDown in the next few weeks or next few months, let me know and put that date and city in the subject line. All right, we are back, and we have our on-site correspondent heading home. Are you en route, Alex, from Barclays Center?
Yes, I am. I'm on the way home from the Barclays Center from that electrifying main event.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about that. Are you driving public transportation? Where are you in New York? Where do you live?
Driving. I'm from New Jersey.
Ah, cool. Okay. And so, yeah, let's just jump right to it. What was it like being in the building for that electrifying main event? Are you being sarcastic or genuine? Let's clear up any ambiguity.
Sure. I'm being genuine. Obviously, Vince McMahon now has the fans eating out of the palm of his hand here. He knows how to protect Roman. But the end there, the Shield reunion, was perfect. It was a perfect end to the night.
Now, I got
I
got the sense, Alex, as a perfect ending, that fans were kind of torn in the last 2 minutes there. They love seeing the Shield. So there's that part of them. Yeah, they're back together. This is so cool. And they're like, oh, wait a second. We love Braun. What are they doing to Braun? Oh, the Shield powerbomb on the table. Awesome. I want to see that. Oh, wait, it's Braun. Oh, no. Like, we wanted a cash-in, and the Shield coming out means we won't get the cash-in. That sucks, but we got the Shield. Like, was it kind of a roller coaster where fans were just, like, they were excited, but also kind of emotionally pulled in different directions?
Yeah, from, you know, the sense that around me, the crowd, I think you're correct there, that people weren't sure, you know, hey, should we cheer for the Shield? Are we going to get a cash in? So the crowd was definitely split.
Yeah.
But the powerbomb itself there, I think, really popped the crowd. And it was, you know, after that, obviously, you knew there would be no cash in, you know, but overall, the crowd was mixed, but both, you can tell, you know, the crowd was behind both things that were going on.
What we ended on was that. Talk about what happened afterwards, when did Braun get up? When did the Shield leave? How did the crowd respond to the circumstances?
Sure. So after the powerbomb that went off air, I'm not sure if this was shown or not, but the Shield did their pose. They walked up to the ramp, hit their pose again, and then Braun kind of shakenly gotten up, started throwing chairs around ringside, visibly aggravated, selling the obviously the powerbomb there. They hit with his music. He got a nice little pop from the crowd, and then that was the end of the night.
Interesting. So, by the way, Zach Haydorn is with me. Alex, I usually introduce you guys off-air, and I forgot to do it. So, Zach, Alex. Alex, Zach.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, Zach. How are you?
Good. Now, Zach, I'm not throwing it yet, though. I have another follow-up question. I just want to get
No, that's cool.
All right. But you're up next. Alex, okay. Talk about the – let's just get this out of the way up front. How did the crowd respond? How did it feel in the building? Sometimes you can't tell or it's different on in the building versus on TV. Talk about the evolution of the crowd reaction to Roman on being in the building, on camera for backstage segments, coming out against Balor as the match with Balor progressed. Like, did it change? Was it consistent? Describe that for us.
Well, during the beginning of Raw, the crowd was certainly giving him an earful in terms of booing. It was a very anti-Roman crowd. And that followed throughout the show's video packages. Anytime he was shown on the big screen, there was a negative reaction towards him. The beginning promo where he was kind of taking shots at Corbin, you know, the crowd laughed at the jokes, but, you know, throughout most of the night, it was just pure booing. In terms of the main event, I think people were so excited to see Finn Balor wrestling for the title that Roman, the crowd reaction was really favoring Balor. I wouldn't even say it was more of a split. It was certainly in the building that felt like the crowd was all behind Balor.
Yeah, I picked up on that. It really seemed as if once the match got deep enough that fans believed that the finish might happen, they...
Well, there was... I'm sorry.
No,
go
ahead.
There was some crowd issues going on where I was sitting, which was pretty close to ringside area. There was a man that was taunting Roman Reigns, standing up in the first row, and security came over, asked him to sit down, and they kicked him out of the building, and there was a little fight, a skirmish that broke out, I would say maybe three-quarters of the way then. So the crowd really wasn't focused on the main event. I don't know if you guys got that on the TV angle.
Yeah, that's interesting. They came back from a commercial break, and the crowd was all standing and looking to their left and our right from the hard camera.
Yeah.
And Reigns was staring, and Reigns was looking like, you know, like, in effect, like, it wasn't just a beach ball.
Well, the guy was close enough, I think, where Roman could probably hear the verbal assaults, but he was giving him crotch chops, and the crowd was kind of, like, getting behind this guy who was antagonizing Roman Reigns. But obviously, I mean... there was a little skirmish that broke out. Security, WWE security rushed over. It seemed like initially it was WWE security that asked this gentleman to please sit down because he was kind of disturbing the crowd, and people were kind of cheering for this guy during the main event. And when WWE security approached him, he proceeded to crotch chop DX style to WWE security, and the guy behind him in his row threw a shot at this guy, shove, and then there were a little tussle. WWE security escorted both of these gentlemen out of the building, but the main antagonist was a gentleman in a, I guess, a Ronda Rousey shirt, first row off the floor, and really kind of threw the main event. People were not focused on the match. They were focused on this buffoon, grown man, you know, trying to get attention, taunting Roman Reigns. So eventually he got escorted out of the building, but... As you, like you said, the match picked up and the crowd got back into the match because I think Balor started to roll a little bit, and the crowd thought, "Hey, you know, maybe this is gonna happen tonight."
I assume that fan was high on marijuana. I mean, drunk on alcohol.
Yeah, you never know with these people in Brooklyn. We got it's a crazy bunch. I'm a New Jersey person, so I can't say that I'm a New Yorker at heart, but. Some of these New Yorkers that are there, they are one of a kind, I'll tell you that.
I think if he was smoking pot, he probably would have been chilling out, eating popcorn, and smiling with a dopey look on his face. So, It
was probably more the alcohol, for sure.
I totally believe it was probably more alcohol, but who am I to know? And I mean, as a kid growing up, there were always fights at wrestling shows. Like, I feel like, first of all, I'm glad there aren't, okay? But now I'm going to totally contradict that. I miss it so much. Like, because as a kid,
the,
like,
the old school guys just brawling in the crowd.
Yes,
you know,
like, I went to Minnesota North Star NHL games as a kid and St. Paul Civic Center AWA shows. And I'm like 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 years old. I just thought it was completely normal that when you grew up, you got really drunk and you got into fights when you went to sporting events. And it was just like, it happened multiple times at, like, every AWA show, and it happened all the time at NHL games. And so, like, it's weird because WWE obviously doesn't sell themselves as that now. But I do – it is a bit of a little nostalgic throwback when somebody acts – and I'm against it, and it's totally inappropriate. So I just want to be on the record for that.
Yeah, well, I mean, in terms of this, I mean, the gentleman, you know, who was being asked to sit down by security, someone – took liberties and gave this gentleman a push after he would not leave.
You're
right, there was certainly more fights back in the old days, that's for sure, in the crowd.
I think we're all, like, you know, a little happy that it just wasn't a bunch of beach balls that caused the tuffle too, either. This is a legitimate thing.
There was beach balls being thrown around, but they were shut down. Security was very thorough with their searches walking into the building.
Oh, really? So, interesting.
My guess is that they were on the lookout for beach balls.
Yeah, interesting. So more thorough than other shows you've been to in past years?
The last three nights I went to NXT. I was at SummerSlam. I was here at Raw. The security all three nights were very extensive, more than usual, I guess, more thorough than usual. So my guess is they certainly were on the lookout for these beach balls, but a couple came into play tonight but didn't really make the big plays, the big splash.
Yeah, interesting. Go ahead, Zach.
I'm curious, what was the bigger pop? Strowman's music when he came out for the cash-in, or the Shield when they came out to stop it?
The Shield. I think once that music hit and Seth and Dean came out in that, you know, Shield attire, I think the crowd, that kind of took, you know, over everything, that – hey, they're back to save Rome, and the Shield is back. So,
yeah, I think usually if all other things are equal, the surprise beats the expected. Yeah. When there's a crowd response too, and I mean, obviously people are going to pop for the Shield no matter what, but they're going to pop for Braun too. I would think Ty goes to what the fans think is a bonus and unexpected. So, interesting. What was your attitude about Roman coming into this weekend, and did anything WWE did with him change your reaction to him at, both Sunday night and tonight?
Well, let's put it this way. I do not think Roman Reigns is a bad wrestler. I think that the character as a whole, the way WWE has presented it as, you know, one way they're going WWE versus Roman Reigns, you know, one against all. And now they're using, well, hey, Brock Lesnar is, you know, a champion who doesn't, you know, defend, and he's not around. So for me, I'm not a big Roman Reigns guy overall, just because it's kind of like that John Cena second leg of his career treatment right now for Roman, where it's like, hey, you know, enough of this guy. But over the weekend, I would say they did a nice job of deflecting negative crowd reactions at the end of his segments or matches. So overall, I'm happy that now Raw has a champion that's going to be on every week. I think that's good for the product. That's good for the whole roster. It's better entertainment, better television. But I'm hoping that Roman loses that belt soon, as someone who's not a Roman Reigns fan.
Yeah, I mean, interesting. I think what you just described is exactly what WWE has been going for, taking somebody who's not on board with Roman but not immovable and just, you know, obstinate about it, and tell a story that, you know, he wants to be a fighting champion and Lesnar's not, which is factually true. More power to Lesnar for making more money than anyone, not doing it, but it's not personal.
Absolutely.
But storyline-wise, you know, WWE kind of took the situation they had with Roman and said, well, with Lesnar, we want Lesnar. He is good for us in a lot of ways, but now and Brock doesn't care, let's turn him into a bad guy for doing exactly what we agreed he would do and use that to help Roman. And I think when you're kind of in the moment and watching the shows, you're like, yeah, that belt sort of feels like it's been hijacked by a guy who's never around. So give us a fighting champion. And then, yeah, tell him the story on Raw tonight and Roman very graciously saying, I want to take on the guy who never got his rematch, made him out to be a cool stand-up guy. And obviously the Sunday night, I mean, the way that all played out, I want to take a moment and ask you, because I'll forget otherwise, since we're talking about Roman. After the pay-per-view ended last night with Roman celebrating the title win, but not when it was completely clear that the cash-in would not happen because Braun had been beat down. And there is a rule, if the briefcase touches the stage, it's out of commission for the night. And Brock made sure of that. So how did the crowd respond? I'll add the laugh track later. How did the crowd respond to the moment after the pay-per-view went off the air?
I think people were cheering mostly because they thought that Braun Strowman was going to cash in, that people were so excited that Braun is going to come in now. And, you know, they cut the graphic, the WWE graphic that shows at the end of pay-per-views on the big screen, and they just kind of showed Roman there. Braun wasn't moving. He really wasn't in the picture. So it was really confusing, and I think that's why the reaction seemed like it was better. But like I said, the whole weekend, and as well as today, they're shielding Roman from that negative crowd reaction to give the, I guess, the look of, hey, look, he's not really getting booed. He's getting cheered here. Support him. Support him. But yesterday, like I said, it was unclear if Braun would cash in, so the crowd was hot, I think, for Braun to make that cash in. And when it didn't happen, the crowd was kind of confused and maybe a little bit irritated at some. But I think that they did a nice job of tying up loose ends tonight. Obviously, the picture is still not finished. They have a lot of stuff to get to. He still has the briefcase. They're going to continue to tease it. But overall, the crowd certainly was Sunday night. They were confused, so that's why the reaction did not seem that bad. And tonight, the Shield came out and kind of deflected the negative reaction.
What would have happened with the crowd at Barclays at SummerSlam had Braun not come out? Like, what was your anticipation going into the night? And if it was just straight up Reigns versus Lesnar and Braun didn't come out before the match, did you get a sense how the crowd was going to react to that match and to each guy based on the story that was told and everything? Yeah.
Absolutely. When both men entered, the boos were deafening, probably equal for both men. The crowd really wasn't behind either guy. So if Braun were to not have come out at that main event, you know, in the beginning, I thought it was smart, obviously. But if he would not to have come out, the crowd would have just completely revolted against the match. At one point, even with Braun out there, a both these guys suck or both these guys suck chant broke out. So the only reason why the crowd wasn't reacting as negatively to the match as maybe it should have gotten was because Braun was ringside. But if Braun was not there, the fans would have burned Barclays Center down to the ground.
Wow.
So it's a very good thing Vince did what he did with Braun before the match at SummerSlam.
Oh, he was brilliant. It was as a fan, and not a fan of Roman, but a fan of the product, I appreciate Vince McMahon, like, and taking the attention to detail and crafting a way where his guy, hey, you know what, he's not getting the crowd reaction I want, but I'm going to make it seem like, you know, they're behind him. And he did it all weekend. It was incredible the way that he scripted it. Kudos to Vince McMahon, but he really protected Roman Reigns.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Go Zach, you got a question? Got a lot still to come.
I was going to shift to Ronda Rousey a little
bit. Yeah, go ahead.
Because it seemed to me, watching, there was a little bit of a mixed reaction. I think there was a lot involved with her segment in terms of, you know, talking up the other women, going against Stephanie, calling herself, you know, not Brock Lesnar. What was the reaction to her? Because it came off a little rough to me on TV.
Well, the segment itself was a little awkward because, you know, you had these heel women on one side, the face women on the other, and it just seemed like a cluster. Like, why are the Bellas there? I know that they were on SummerSlam yesterday making an appearance, but they're not really on the, you know, they're not active performers? Why are they there for the segment? I think Ronda certainly has some work to do on the mic, and some of her segments feel awkward, I think, because of it. But regardless, the crowd reaction to her is insane. People love her. I think the big name appeal of Ronda Rousey is, you know, obviously garnering a lot of attention. But you can tell that she's passionate about the business and she loves pro wrestling. And as someone myself who's a fan and passionate about pro wrestling, it's nice to see somebody come in here and kind of be respectful of the art form and the backstage area. And obviously the women have her respect. And I think that's because she's so passionate, and it carries over to the fans. But you can see that she really does love professional wrestling.
Yeah, that's interesting. When she just walked out, and I get there's a lot of people like you who were at SummerSlam also, so it's not like the first time. So you can kind of combine both nights when I ask these questions. But who seemed to be the biggest star, or it's a two or three or four way tie? Who gave the vibe of being the biggest star tonight, taking in consideration, I guess, SummerSlam 2 among the Raw crew?
Well, I'll tell you what. I think truly Elias, that the reaction that Elias gets is so genuine. And I'm not, you know, he has it. And if I said over the weekend from the reactions from the crowd, a guy who probably is the next big star, I think Elias has that potential. He's over with the crowd. His gimmick is great. That would be my answer. That's my guy.
Elias is going to like this show.
He really is.
Yes. We talked about it in the first segment,
but,
too.
Let me say this. Yeah. I was at NXT, and if we're talking who I thought over the full 3 days that I've been there, who's really the biggest star, I'll tell you what. That kid Velveteen Dream has a real shot. I think that guy's got star written all over him.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't go to his head. I hope he listens to the right people and stays on track, because that gimmick and the way he plays it is a star in the making. Yep. I talked to Steve Austin about that on today's Steve Austin podcast. He had thoughts on the Dream and compared him to some other wrestlers. And it's not often you see a gimmick like this that kind of goes further than most people expected it to.
It just seems very organic, you know, the whole evolution of him becoming the Dream. It's awesome to see. And hopefully when he comes up to the main roster, whenever that point is, hopefully they do right by him and set him up in spots where he can be successful, because he can very well turn into a mid-carder very quickly. But if they use him and his talents shine, he's got a shot.
Now, you know, Elias is liking the show. Somebody who's not is Triple H. He cut his first wrestling promo in ages and made an appearance in front of the crowd in Brooklyn, talked passionately about loving this business. He's going to do it till the day he dies, make sure it doesn't go anywhere. Talked about his era and how great it was. It was like this. I mean, we haven't talked about it yet on the show, Zach, but I thought it was like the perfect blend of all the good and all the not so good things about Triple H promos over the years and Triple H as a wrestler. So it was sort of a nostalgia trip in a good and bad way in certain ways when it comes to his promos. How I want to ask Alex, though, well, we've got him on the phone here. How was the reaction to Triple H coming out? Because to me on TV, it felt like the crowd was wondering, okay, which version are we getting so we know how to respond?
Yeah, I think the crowd was initially, I wouldn't say on the fence, because, you know, we don't know. Are we getting heel Triple H? Are we getting NXT creator Triple H? Are we getting the game? What is this? What's going on? But the promo itself got a good reaction from the crowd. I liked it. I always cheer for Triple H. I love Triple H. So I think by the crowd nicely. I think that the crowd was behind him. And also when he came out, he got a really nice NXT chant from the crowd, which he clearly appreciated. And then I think he made a remark, something about NXT, how they did a great job, or the performance was great on Saturday, something along those lines.
Oh, he was so political. I loved it. He said, you picked up on that, Zach?
Yeah, I did.
He goes, NXT blew the roof off this place Saturday night. And then you can just see the gears churning. Oh, my God, I'm in trouble. And then he goes, and SummerSlam took it to a whole other level. And I'm like, good answer,
yeah,
Triple H.
He had to make sure that he put over SummerSlam. He had to.
Yes, yes. Yeah. It was just awesome. It was just great seeing that happen on the spot, you know, on his feet. That's why they script promos, folks, because you can get yourself in trouble if you're not as quick on your feet as Hunter to make sure you fix anything you step in. So Hunter got a star reaction, once fans kind of figured out who he was. As far as the active wrestlers on Raw, Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, Bobby Lashley, throw him in there, Reigns. Who ended up seeming like the biggest star of the night, other than, as you said, Elias being kind of a guy who fans are really behind right now?
I would say probably Finn Balor. I thought that he, the initial segment of the opening of the show was really well done. Overall, I thought that the tease of, hey, Balor may do this tonight, you can tell that the crowd was really behind him. So I would say he was probably the star of the night. Bobby Lashley, to me, I think that they're kind of screwing this up. He's not great on the mic himself, and the crowd really isn't behind him. I think Corbin's playing his part really well, but the star of the night probably for me has to go to Balor. But then again, also, I do love Seth Rollins. And he really wasn't in any of the matches tonight, but he oozes charisma, and his entrance is always awesome.
Zach?
Yeah, well, I wanted to ask about Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. Two questions, actually. The first is, on the show watching on TV, Cole was pretty heavy-handed in talking about how Dean Ambrose has this new style to him, and he broke out some new moves. You know, did you get the sense that you were watching like a rebooted character, or did he kind of in the arena there, you know, show the same old Dean as he went through his first match back?
No, it seemed like a revamped Dean Ambrose. Like you said, he showcased some of his new moves this evening, but he seems obviously physically different, but seemed like he was moving a little bit quicker, not as slow of a style. It's good for Dean Ambrose. I mean, I didn't really think that he was a top guy at the time of his injury, but with this revamped Dean Ambrose, there's a lot of possibilities and matches with Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns now, you know, the re-breakup of the Shield. But I'm excited to see where this new revamp Dean Ambrose goes, and I'm willing to give it a shot.
Yeah, and on that note, because you were in the building last night at SummerSlam, you know, how was the interaction between Seth and Dean different last night to tonight? Because last night I felt watching the show, there was like a tension between the two, because I think a lot of people got the sense that Dean may or may not turn heel. That tension subsided a little bit for me tonight, but you being in the building, compare both nights between both guys.
I think that the SummerSlam night, like you said, I think that the crowd was kind of waiting for Ambrose to turn on Rollins. But I thought it was also a little bit weird that they opened SummerSlam with an Ambrose intro. I guess that they were both, you know, him and McIntyre were both involved in the Intercontinental Championship match. But it seemed like tonight they were more buddy-buddy. And I think that that was, you know, obviously a sign to come at the end of the night that, yeah, hey, you know, we're still close and we're, you know, our bond is rock solid. So when they came out together and Ambrose was wearing Dean Ambrose's, when Rollins came out wearing Dean Ambrose's T-shirt, I think the crowd was behind them. Both of them got really good reactions, but definitely more buddy-buddy closer tonight than yesterday, it seemed.
Interesting.
Well, was there any part of the Raw TV broadcast that did not work from a in-building experience? Can be a top segment or a lower-end segment, but what just didn't work?
For me, what worked, surprisingly, I thought the Elias Hawkins segment was one of the higher points of the night. Honestly, it was nice to kind of see Hawkins come out and play to that, hey, I haven't won and I'm 0-216. That segment was good. I liked how they put Elias over clean and fast. A low segment for me, probably the AOP match against Titus Worldwide. For me, that didn't work. The crowd wasn't behind it. The wave chant kind of started during that time. The crowd was getting a little bit restless. So for me, a low point would be the AOP tag match. The Elias segment was good. And obviously the ending of Raw was awesome, and the crowd was really, really into everything that was going on. That Braun was there, the Shield was back. But yeah, the high points, Elias, the end of the match of the main event.
Seemed like there were a few times where there were video packages, either from what happened earlier on Raw or from SummerSlam, back kind of bookmarking or attached to commercial breaks. So there were long gaps where there wasn't something going on in the ring. Did it seem like that was more the case this time, and did the crowd get restless for that, or did the show kind of flow from an in-person experience?
I think that the video packages were a little bit excessive tonight. They showed the Triple H Undertaker video package that went about, it felt like forever, but probably 2 minutes. And, you know, video package after the next, after the next. There was definitely segments where it felt like we were getting no in-ring action or in-ring promos. Everything was kind of like a backstage, for, you know, spots. And like you said, these video packages that I think as the night got on, the crowd was getting more restless because the pacing was, you know, a little off. But overall, there definitely were segments where it felt like a lot, you know, there was a lot of nothing going on.
Did you sense that most of the people at Raw went to SummerSlam and NXT, or did you get a sense it was a kind of a different vibe and feel for the Raw people attending Raw compared to the weekend shows?
Definitely a different vibe. I think that tonight there was definitely more families, more children there than SummerSlam and NXT, which are probably more of a hardcore fan show. But the families were definitely out tonight, a lot more kids than there were over the weekend.
Interesting. Yeah. Did SummerSlam seem just torturously long, or did it seem like one really big match after another that just held your interest and kept your energy up because there was so much star power coming out one after another for 5-6 hours?
Well, I thought the spacing for SummerSlam was done really well. I thought that the match placements were done correctly. It gave, you know, you had room to breathe. But coming from Saturday night where you get these five big matches happen so quickly, sitting through SummerSlam seems like a longer process. And by the time you get to the main event, you're definitely worn out a little bit because still it's a 6-hour show. But the spacing itself was nice. It was definitely downtime, but like you said, a lot of the matches felt like big match, breather, you know, big match, and then a nice breather.
I
thought the spacing was okay.
Yeah, I thought the match order was really smart. I might have flipped Miz Bryan and Seth Ziggler in retrospect.
You maybe open with Bryan. I thought the crowd would have been all over that.
Yeah. Again, that's something Steve Austin and I get into, so check that out if you haven't. We kind of discuss the pros and cons of that. Because I thought that Miz Daniel Bryan on watching on the network, the crowd didn't go nuts for it. And it seemed like a match constructed and executed in a way where it sort of deserved the fans to be more into it and reacting to it more. What was it like in the building? Was that a match where the crowd reaction didn't seem to live up to the hype and the anticipation? Or did it not come across that way?
I thought that the crowd would definitely be more into the match. Granted, I thought that the match was kind of in the beginning very slow moving, so maybe the crowd wasn't necessarily behind it as early as they should have been. The video packages live were really cool, the showcase of the rivalry over the 8 years. But in my opinion, if they were to have put the title on Miz and it would have been a title match, you would have had a whole different feel. The match would have felt bigger, more meaningful. But I definitely thought that the crowd was going to be more into it, and I don't know how it came across necessarily, but I thought that for a lot of the match, the crowd was kind of silent.
What of the longer matches at SummerSlam was the crowd most into, or was it sort of a tie? Especially, I guess, AJ Joe and Ziggler Seth come to mind, but you know, there were other standout singles matches too that maybe got a better response.
Well, the Ronda match obviously got a huge response. It was a nice little touch. The crowd really popped for Natty. You know, everyone was really behind her, you know, obviously for the passing of her father. So it was nice that the crowd was able to kind of give her that moment. But for me, a match that I would say the crowd really enjoyed. I would say, you know what, the New Day and the Bludgeon Brothers, that match itself was really, really good. The crowd was getting really into the match. And then when they had the kind of crappy finish there, the crowd was not happy. But mm-hmm. that match itself was a really good match.
Interesting. All right, well, let's go ahead, Zach. You can come back to Raw if you want to have a SummerSlam question, too, either way.
Well, yeah, I was going to ask about Braun Strowman, again, comparing both nights. So, you know, last night he came out for his match with Kevin Owens. He did the tease of the cash in the main event yesterday, and then, you know, he was out there tonight. Did you get the sense that people were in on him each time, or did his kind of like seeing him three times in the same arena with a lot of the same crowd, did the spectacle of seeing him wane as the weekend went on?
Well, I thought on Sunday when he came out before the match started, the crowd was really excited. But I don't know necessarily if it was because they were excited for Strowman to become champion or the tease of it, or the fact that we were not just going to get a Roman Brock match, which the crowd did not want. So the element of adding Braun there, the crowd was more into the main event, I think, because people were ready for Braun to cash in. Tonight when he came out, the reaction was huge. Everyone was behind him in the crowd. The pop that he got was awesome. Like I said, the majority of the crowd, they were really into it. And I don't know necessarily, like I said, is that because Braun is a guy who the fans are behind, which I do think they are. But I think in both cases, it was just the fact that, hey, we're not, you know, leaving this night with Roman as the champ.
Yeah, so I guess a follow-up would be, so you kind of referenced both times the biggest pops being, you know, outside of his match. So did you get the sense that people just wanted to see him, or, like, was there any interest at all in actually seeing the guy wrestle in a match? Not necessarily against Kevin Owens. I realize it's not the best-booked program, but, you know, did his match itself and him in it create any interest, or is it just him with Roman Reigns that gets people hooked?
I think it's him with Roman Reigns because his reaction when he came out against Kevin Owens, it was loud. But the cheers that he was getting were deafening based off of, hey, Roman's not going to walk out of here with the title tonight. I thought that was more it.
Okay.
Was there a match after Raw went off the air? Did they advertise anything that didn't happen, or did something happen or nothing happen?
Well, they advertised a dark match main event. I don't remember the match itself, but they advertised it. And after the Braun segment where he was powerbombed through the table, Braun walked to the back after the Shield did. And basically they just said, hey, that's it for the night. We'll see you all tomorrow. And then they showed the SmackDown graphic on the Titantron.
Okay. Yeah. And how about, did you get there in time to see the matches before Raw went on the air?
Unfortunately, I did not.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll have to find out how. Well, we saw Curt Hawkins, how Mike Kanellis did or something like that later. We got to see Curt Hawkins on TV this week. Yes. On the fan ruckus, I noticed a little bit before the Reigns match, it seemed like security gathered around to the left of the announce tables in the crowd area. I was wondering if that fan had shown signs of something, or if security was just kind of roaming around anyway, or if you picked up on anything before the ruckus with a fan and Roman Reigns.
No, I didn't notice anything ringside, but like I said, the fan was pretty belligerent, kind of causing a stir. The crowd was reacting to him, so it may be extra protection so the man didn't jump into the ring, because it seemed like he was headed in that direction.
Oh, man.
It seemed like that was his ultimate intentions.
So where was his seat? Or did he run up from somewhere else?
No, he was on the first row of the seats that are next to the floor. So the crowd behind him, everyone could see him. He was standing up in the first row.
He's first row for a hockey game?
Yeah, first row for a hockey game. Correct.
Got it. Okay.
Off where the steps are that go onto the floor. So, yeah, gotcha. Like first row for a hockey game.
Interesting. Okay. What was I going to say about the ruckus? Oh, did you make out, like, what he was saying in particular? Like, was it threatening or just heckling? Like, I'm just kind of curious. Like,
he was a passionate Roman Reigns hater, swearing at him, flipping him off, giving him cross chops.
Yeah.
Anytime Roman was in the corner where his seat kind of was, wow. He was getting louder, banging on the plexiglass that was going along the first row, kind of really making a stir. But yeah, he certainly was belligerent.
Wow. Amazing.
Wow.
Zach, anything else?
I could be wrong, but Roman locked eyes with this guy, and I'm pretty sure security maybe did something after Roman spotted this guy going crazy and the crowd was kind of, responding to this guy heckling Roman.
Did the crowd, like, sing na-na-na goodbye or cheer him or boo as he was dragged out of the building?
Oh, no. The crowd was saying, please don't leave. Let him stay. Because he was just, he was just kind of yelling at Roman. I mean, granted, he was being belligerent and getting a crowd reaction, but he was that over the top that people all around the arena were kind of looking at this guy in the first row.
So, Alex, did he seem like a genuine threat, or did he seem like he was just a leader of fan movement that WWE and Reigns in particular objected to because he was just successful at getting attention?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Interesting.
He certainly wasn't a threat. He wasn't a threatening guy by any means, trust me.
Oh, okay. That's what I was going to ask. Describe him.
No, he was a middle-aged man. It seemed like he was actually with his kids. I could be wrong on that, but that may have been
where
the question
from.
But this guy was flipping off Roman, being very loud, very obnoxious, and I think that WWE security team kind of jumped on that, knowing that, who am I to say Roman definitely saw it, but I know Roman locked eyes with this guy.
Wow. Fascinating. All right. Zach, anything else you want to ask?
No, I'm good. Okay. That's a great report.
Yeah. So where did you sit? What'd you pay? And are you happy with your choices all weekend?
Yeah, I sat downstairs today, bought tickets on StubHub, paid about $70 for the ticket. So I was very happy, sat down low. I was off four rows from the floor, fourth row of a hockey game, if we're looking at it that way. Last night I was in the 100 section, paid about $150 for that one. And Saturday night I sat upstairs and paid $30 for that ticket. So overall, not too bad.
All over. Cool. Yep. Do you have a favorite experience of the weekend? Which show?
My favorite experience was the Adam Cole Ricochet match.
Wow.
Probably one of the better matches that I've seen live, and the reaction that both guys get, especially Adam Cole, it's awesome the reaction the crowd gives him. So for me, that was probably the high point of the whole weekend was the Adam Cole Ricochet match.
And overall event, if you had to pick one to go to and you had to skip the other two?
Oh, NXT TakeOver would be the event that I would go to for sure.
Fascinating.
Every year, consistently the best show. And, as someone who I don't necessarily watch NXT every week, but I watch all the TakeOvers and follow the product. And it's easier to follow the product because mostly the relevant things you need to see are the takeovers that happen maybe once every 2 months.
Yeah.
But for me, NXT TakeOver, if I had a choice of the three, that would be the show.
Cool. Alex, really enjoyed the conversation. I'm glad we were able to get a hold of you.
Appreciate it. I enjoyed talking to you guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
See ya.
All right, so we are back for the mailbag segment. Zach, talk about your contributions to PWTorch.com and also the artistry of Wrestling Column in particular and your podcast. Just talk about your contributions and how people can hear more from you and read more of you.
Yeah, well, quite a few different ways. Monday nights, I've got the Alternative Perspective Raw Report up right next to yours at pwtorch.com, so you can check that out live with my analysis as the show goes on. Tuesday nights, I cover 205 Live. Same kind of thing, right as the show is going on. The final report's up probably anywhere between 15 to 20 minutes after 205 Live is finished. And again, with analysis and a report on what happened during the show. So both those at pwtorch.com each and every week. And then the VIP audio podcast that I do is called On the Canvas, and it's kind of an offshoot of the Artistry of Wrestling column that I began at the early part of 2018. And it's just it's a deep dive into a current event, usually, and a look at the performance art behind it. So stuff like Roman carrying the the belt on his back and what that does or doesn't do for him or the match or the segment that he's in. So we'll dissect promos, matches, backstage segments, and what have you. And it's not just WWE either, but we'll delve into Ring of Honor, New Japan, any sort of current event. And then every so often we'll take a deep dive back into From the Vault and do like a recap of a historical moment like WrestleMania 17, Stone Cold versus The Rock, something like that. So I've had a array of guest hosts, and check out the archives. This most current episode is about SummerSlam. Before that is like I talked about, From the Vault, WrestleMania 17, and there's stuff in there about Paul Heyman promos, Roman Reigns promos, 205 Live match, Buddy Murphy versus Mustafa Ali. So some good stuff. So the show's called On the Canvas, and go VIP and check it out. We'd really appreciate it.
Awesome, thank you. All right, let's go to the mailbag here and begin with a lot about the Shield and Roman Reigns. That'll be a central focus tonight. Not a lot of people responding to Triple H and his promo.
Oh boy.
Just saying, we're not ignoring him, Hunter. They just didn't come in. Tim from Cleveland says, was that a Shield heel turn? If so, I'm all for it. Let's explore this for a moment. Are we misreading things at all in not just seeing that as a triple heel turn, or is that preposterous and definitely not what was expected, or how Vince expects people to look at it?
Oh yeah, I mean, never say never, right? But I did not get that sense when I was watching it. I got the sense I got was kind of, as I already have shared, that just they were going for wow factor, a really cool moment that people walk out of the building going, holy crap, that was cool, and kind of ignore all the nuances of the narrative not really going together. So I don't think it was a heel turn. I think there could be some interesting storylines that could stem out of what happened, but I think Braun's still a babyface. I think Roman is still a babyface, and I think Seth and Dean all still babyfaces. For as convoluted as that sounds, I think that's what we'll get come Monday next week.
Yeah, the WWE.com article didn't really indicate that we're supposed to boo the Shield for what they did. It just talked about the arrival of Dean and Seth back in the signature black colors of the Shield, and Strowman didn't hesitate to throw down with the brothers in black, but the Hounds of Justice overwhelmed him. After Reigns speared Strowman on the outside, setting up a monstrous triple powerbomb through the announce table. And yeah, so no real judgment of the Shield in any kind of way, just describing it rather neutrally. So, if the headline was, what's up with the Shield? Why do they do that? Or the Shield go dark, turn to the dark side and triple team poor Braun. Nothing like that. So I don't think so. But let's go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, too, you listen to the commentary back, and, even like last night during the Becky angle, they're saying like, what Becky got so frustrated that she got to this point. And, we haven't seen this side of Becky before, but there was none of that tonight kind of, hinting at a heel run for the Shield. It was more like, hey, this is a huge moment. The Shield's back together. So I think you can look at that commentary and get some clues as to what they want you to be feeling right now.
And I almost think Vince just gets a get out of Roman being booed embarrassment card. If I don't know if that's too wordy, but by matching Roman with the Shield against Braun, you're gonna have more people cheering Roman than you would otherwise, but those who boo him are booing him because, well, we had the guts to put him against Braun, who's mega popular. Whereas if you put Roman against Kevin Owens or Braun or Baron Corbin, or pick your heel, and Roman gets booed, now Vince has egg on his face. Oh, it didn't work, you tried to get him cheered, he's not being cheered. Vince is just sort of throwing his hands up, just going, we got the Shield, we got Braun, they're big stars, they're gonna clash, they're gonna be themselves, cheer who you freaking want, I don't care, just give us a reaction. And it's probably smart, because you can't tell how popular or unpopular Reigns is. And he's probably got this booked out, between now and Mania, or certainly, for months ahead in his mind, where there will be a moment that he thinks, okay, Roman against a solid heel at some point, but it'll be done in a way where he thinks Roman will get cheered. And I think it is his mission right now to position Roman where the crowd response does not seem like a rejection of Roman, but rather an embrace of who happens to be standing opposite of him, who is also positioned to be cheered, so Vince wins either way. He wins on red or black on the roulette wheel.
Yeah, and the other thing with that, too, is, you know, he has the Universal title back on Raw. And I got the sense watching the show today that really gave, for me, just a little bit of extra structure to the show. Like, there was, you know, a concrete hierarchy and a lot of things pointed toward that belt. So it was refreshing to have that back. And I think that itself may help Reigns a little bit in that he's the guy holding it, and it's back on Raw weekly where we haven't seen it in you know, over 18 months almost. So I think that's an element in play here too that could help Reigns as long as everything else gets buttoned up around him.
Let's go to Brian T. in Kentucky. It says, Wade and Zach, I'm so angered at this moment. This was at 10:15 p.m. Central. I'm so angered at this moment. So 11:15 Eastern, right after Raw. I'm not even sure if this email will be coherent. The Shield coming out to help Roman tonight was the dumbest thing I think I've seen in Raw in 25 years.
Wow.
I guess they are all heels now? Storming out in their old Shield getups to help Roman to not get booed? Ridiculous. After ruining SummerSlam last night, taking it from a solid B to an F at the close of the show, I didn't think they could get anything else more wrong, but they showed me tonight. The Shield attacking Strowman as an apparent heel faction has left me speechless. This garbage makes me want to stop watching wrestling altogether. Thanks for letting me rant. My brain may have exploded otherwise. Well, we are here to avoid brain explosions. definitely, let me read another response here about this same topic. Jaren says, hello, Wade. This is Jaren from Omaha. Quick question. Everyone was predicting Dean to turn heel on Seth, and that didn't happen. But what about if his Shield reunion is leading to a possible turn on Roman, maybe at the Royal Rumble, leading to a triple threat match for the championship at WrestleMania? Your thoughts, and where does Braun fit into that scenario? Personally, I think Braun will have a short title reign sometime between now and the Royal Rumble. So another reaction to what the Shield did tonight. I'll read one more from Zach G. from Indiana. We can just kind of bat around thoughts on these. I can bet you've already covered the ending of Raw by now, but I have a couple comments and questions about the whole match, not just the ending. Regarding the ending, I think the Shield reunion makes them all look like total heels. What did Braun do wrong? Cash in his opportunity he earned, and that WWE gives out every year? To use their phrase against them, what injustice were they correcting? I may be in the minority, but that didn't help Roman to me. It made me look at Seth and Dean differently and, frankly, not in a positive way. Regarding the match with Balor itself, it was a great match. My first question is regarding Finn. Why on earth would he be the demon for a match with Baron Corbin and not a title match the next night? He pulls the demon out when needed. Don't you think you need it for a title match? Okay, I guess pretty bold strategy. Secondly, I'm excited for Roman to give Kevin Owens his rematch next week, since he also didn't get a rematch after losing the championship. I know it's different circumstances, but a guy can dream. He says, I just went VIP last week, and I'm so glad I did. 2! I recently changed jobs, allowing me more time for podcasts, and there are so many I can't even keep up. It's well worth the $10 a month. Take advantage of the $1 sale price, people. Thank you, Zach G. PWTorchVIPinfo.com. And coupon code. What is the coupon code? I've already forgotten. Do you remember, Zach?
Dollar Slam.
18.
18, yes.
Dollar Slam 18. Thank you. Yes. Dollar Slam 18. There we go. I was totally not prepared for someone in email to plug it, but I had to take advantage. So Dollar Slam 18, all one word, no spaces. Thank you, Zach. I'm glad you went VIP. I'm glad you're liking it. I sincerely really like emails like that. I appreciate it. We work really hard on this, and it's great when we can get people to take advantage of it and support us and feel like they're getting a lot back for it. So thanks for that. So anyways, as I want to throw those three emails at you. I mean, it's anecdotal, but it's not like that people are super positive about Seth and Dean coming out and triple teaming Braun for doing nothing wrong, even if at the same time a lot of people are excited to see the Shield together again. I wonder if there's not going to be, this goes all the way back to the CM Punk podcast, fans taking a step back from being immersed in the product and going, okay, now we're seeing something we don't want to see, which is Braun Strowman getting beat up by three guys, and it's all because Vince is taking the positive vibes and goodwill that Dean Ambrose has from his return and Seth Rollins has for everything he's been doing for the last few years and use that to try to help Roman get over by dressing up as a Shield again, and it causes fans to kind of push back a little harder, going, wait a second, we're just seeing it's all about Roman once again, and they're sacrificing Seth and Dean at the same time and having them act in a way that's not really honorable. I mean, is there a chance this backfires?
Well, certainly. Certainly there is. I think the more heavy-handed they get with it, the worse it's going to be. They really have to be careful and walk that fine line so that they don't do that. You know, Rollins and Ambrose, especially Rollins at this point, have a ton of equity with the audience, and they're really anchoring part of the WWE audience that is against Roman. Like, they're keeping them interested with the IC title matches and Seth's just general run for the last better part of a year. So, you know, you mess with that too much and you're really, I think you're playing with fire. So they have to be careful. As far as just the overall with the segment and them running out against Braun, I think it's so interesting. The thought of a heel turn for them did not cross my mind one time while I was watching it. Like, it just didn't. I don't know if it was just excitement for seeing the Shield or the commentary, but my brain
and the crowd cheering.
And the crowd cheering. Like, I just, my brain didn't go that route. So I'm trying to recalibrate in real time here and kind of go back to it. But just looking at it, there just was no heelish tendencies for anybody out there. That's why I go back to big moment, leave it at that. And honestly, I can see Kevin Owens next week making a stink about, hey, I didn't get a rematch either. Roman, like, give me my match, and they, you know, go to that next week. So I can definitely see that happening. It would make a lot of sense, especially given the fact that Owens wasn't on the show tonight. So a lot of balls in the air right now for him. But ultimately, I guess my opinion on it is I just go back to, I think Vince wanted to get out of this weekend. I think he wanted people to have a good time, be happy, not boo Reigns out of the building. And I think he really pulled many rabbits out of the hat in order to do that. And we'll just have to see where it goes. But I am just not reading much into it past that at this point.
Let me introduce another email into the, because I said we got a lot on this. I'm not going to read all of them, but this touches on something we're just talking about. Aaron from North Carolina said, it took me a while to gather my thoughts after my mind was continuously blown by just how far Vince will go to get Roman cheered. Last night, and he sent this about 50 minutes after Raw ended. Last night was bad enough by using Braun coming out to keep people in their seats when they had no intention of having Braun cash in. However, tonight, and by the way, it's really interesting what Alex said, that the crowd is going to boo intensely and nonstop Roman and Lesnar. Last night was bad enough. Okay, so having Roman invite Finn out for a title shot just for cheers and having Braun come out again just so the crowd wouldn't crap all over Roman pinning Finn clean was bad. How dare WWE insult me as a fan, insult all of us by sending out the Shield to help Roman take down Braun just for a few cheers? How dare they try to play us? I am offended. If you want Roman as champ, then just do your job and make him a good champion who fans care about. Don't use other wrestlers that fans love to create false reactions that will placate Vince's ego and the sponsors. This was all just too much for me. Finn is a favorite of mine, but I didn't even want to see the match because I knew how it would end. Dean is also one of my favorites, and as excited as I am that he is back, I felt my heart sink when the Shield came out to help Roman. My apologies for the rant, but please, can you shed a positive light on this for me? Where do y'all see this going? P.S. I like Dean doing a new moveset. It was cool to see him showcase more of his talent. Again, anecdotally, a lot of people not reacting positively, and I think seeing it as Seth and Dean being used as chess pieces in the Roman Reigns game.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what it was. And so I think you're going to have a contingent of the audience that will say, like that Twitter post, hey, I can't stand Roman Reigns, but I absolutely love that. And then you're going to have people say, look, I'm sick and tired of getting tricked into liking Roman Reigns. And I kind of think it's, in a way, it's two separate conversations. Because I think, like I said at the top of the show, it's certainly worth the time to debate the merits of why they have to do what they do. Is it worth, you know, sacrificing all these other baby faces on the show that are more over than the baby face that they're trying to help get over? And it's like you have all that stock that you're just wasting away. And I think that's a conversation to have, and it certainly would be an interesting one. But as far as just the execution of tonight, I still think a cool moment that gets a passing grade for me, given the situation and given all the pieces at play. So, you know, it's a lot of balls in the air, and they caught quite a few of them in my eyes tonight. And it sounds like I might be in the minority of that. So who knows?
Yeah, we'll run a poll on Twitter, see what followers of PW Torch on Twitter think, because I'm curious now. All right, well, we'll end on that note, Zach. Thank you so much. Fun conversation. So much to to dive into.
Thank you for having me, as always. I always enjoy being on.
Excellent. I enjoy having you on. Appreciate that. Thanks to our listeners also, and our callers and our on-site correspondent and those who emailed. I hope it was a helpful therapy session. Although I think for people who are happy that the Shield are back together, we've caused them to have to go to therapy now because they're like, well,
yeah, right.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Zach.
Thanks, man.
All right. If you're a VIP member, let this roll because we're going to tack on over 20 minutes more of mailbag questions that Zach and I addressed. The show just got too long. And if we go too long on these files, it ends up being difficult for the download to work with our server on the free show. So we did about 20 minutes more of mailbag. That is a VIP exclusive bonus for our VIP members. Again, if you're not a VIP member, this is your first chance all year to get a full month for a dollar. It's our first dollar sale of the year. And the coupon code is $SLAM18. That's what you want to enter in the coupon code field on our sign-up form. You can get to our sign-up form through pwtorchvipinfo.com. pwtorchvipinfo.com. That's all about VIP membership. Show you the logos for all the cool podcasts that come with VIP membership. Shows you some cool covers of Pro Wrestling Torch newsletters over the decades. You can see the way the Torch has changed its look over the years, the weekly newsletter that is, and some of the headlines, and just give you a taste of the massive, fascinating insider library of information that you have access to as a VIP member the second you sign up. And also tons of podcasts every day, every week. Fast turnaround on all topics in professional wrestling. History, indies, the European indies, Japan, ROH. I could go on and on. So go check it out. pwtorchvipinfo.com. You might not use everything or listen to everything, but there's a huge selection that will keep you engaged and more informed, and I think enjoy professional wrestling more. If you enjoy the way that we approach analyzing professional wrestling, I think you're going to really enjoy being a VIP member. You get the post-pay-per-view roundtables. Bruce Mitchell and Todd Martin and I recorded 75 minutes on Sunday night of SummerSlam analysis. Right after the show ended, we recorded, and then boom, within 2 hours, it's available. Within an hour and a half, it's available to VIP members. So there's a really fast turnaround time. You don't have to wait till the next day or days later for analysis of big breaking stories, major events, WWE, NXT, New Japan, and otherwise. So go VIP, give us a try. It's $1. It's a very big discount to get a whole month of access to 30 plus years of what I and my team have put together and new stuff every day. So I encourage you to do it. And if you go VIP, these plugs are taken out. So instead, you're listening to more mailbag questions instead of me plugging VIP if you go VIP. So again, pwtorchvipinfo.com, coupon code $SLAM18. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Thank you for supporting Pro Wrestling Torch. Thanks for supporting us here on the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show and Pro Wrestling Podcast. And until tomorrow for the Post-SmackDown Show, on behalf of Zach, this is Wade signing off. Please keep us in mind when you're about to shop at Amazon. Start at pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Click on the Amazon logo on that page, and it takes you right to the Amazon homepage. But that two-second detour by starting at pwtorch.com/Amazon means we get a commission on whatever you buy on that shopping trip. So every single time you're going to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you so much for your support.